Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Want to invite you to our next Brian Lehrer Show public event. It is this Friday morning at 8:30 at the New School on 12th Street near 6th Avenue in Manhattan. The topic this time is Cities at Risk, the Benefit of Hindsight. And we will see how New York and other cities can learn from 9/11, Hurricane Katrina, and other major events. This will be Friday morning, April 7th. Our guests will include two former directors of FEMA, Michael Brown, yes, that Michael Brown, and James Lee Witt, who served for all 8 years of the Clinton administration, plus Martin O'Malley, the mayor of Baltimore, who is the head of the U.S. Conference of Mayors Homeland Security Task Force, and Clark Kent Irvin, former Inspector General for the Department of Homeland Security, who's now a big critic of the Department of Homeland Security. This event will be presented with the Milano School for Management and Urban Policy at the New School. Admission is free, but reservations are necessary. For more information, see the events page at WNYC.org. We continue now to cover the immigration reform debate, with the Senate trying to come up with a bill to vote on by Friday. And the latest this morning is that it now looks like the whole idea of a guest worker program is teetering on the brink of collapse. There is a Senate majority for some kind of guest worker bill, but a filibuster threat by several Republican opponents may kill it because the idea does not have the needed 60 votes to stop a filibuster. We will get the latest now and talk about some more of the issues involved as well. Today's guest on our continuing coverage of the immigration debate is a leading supporter of the Kennedy-McCain guest worker to citizenship approach, Tamar Jacoby, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Tamar, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Nice to be here.
So bring us up to speed on what's going on right now in the Senate. Are we close to losing any kind of guest worker program?
No, I think we're at the moment of the moment of truth, so to speak. It's no longer just the McCain-Kennedy bill. It's now been blessed by the Judiciary Committee and has some support of prominent Republicans like Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter. And it is the question is, does it in its pure form have the votes to overcome the procedural blocks which require it to have 60 votes, or does it need to be tweaked a little to get some more Republican support and prevail in the Senate? And the third possibility, of course, is that there is no compromise and that it doesn't itself muster 60 votes and they can't come to a compromise, and then in that case it will go down.
Which senators are threatening to filibuster?
Well, there could be filibusters from various possible angles, but there are senators like Senator Sessions, and if he doesn't get what he wants, Senator Kyle, and there are all kinds of senators who, you know, who think that the best approach to immigration is just to enforce existing law rather than change it to make it more realistic and then enforce it. That's the basic divide.
Boy, it sure says something about Arizona politics if one of their senators, McCain, is sponsoring the bill and the other, Kyle, is filibustering it.
Well, Arizona is the state that, we don't know exactly that Kyle would be the person to lead
it. Or at least threatening it.
Yeah. But Arizona is the state that's in a way borne the brunt of illegal immigration. It also is one of the states that benefits the most from immigration, period, because it has a lot of the jobs or the kinds of jobs that immigrants come to do, whether agriculture, construction, whatever. This is a difficult issue. Senator Kyle is somebody who I respect, who thinks that that the rule of law is really important and that we don't want to reward people who break the law. That's a legitimate position. The question is whether it's in our interest as a country to figure out who these people, the illegal immigrants who are already here, who they are, and get them on the right side of the law or not. And I believe it is. And I believe we're the kind of country that doesn't want to have a class of people who aren't citizens. That's where I really part company from.
Are the politics of those two senators, though, that Kyle is basically playing to the majority, the electoral majority in Arizona, and McCain is now playing to a national audience running for president?
Not really, actually, because there are grandstanders on this issue, obviously, who are mostly playing to popular opinion. Kyle's actually a principled law and order Republican. It's a different. There are many different ways to come at this, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Sure, I would say Senator Sessions is playing to the public in his state. There are plenty of congressmen who are just thinking, you know, seeing a reelection ploy, which I actually don't think is going to work for them. But Kyle's not one of them.
Tamara Jacoby, my guest on WNYC, long a supporter of the ideas behind the Kennedy-McCain bill, guest worker program, then a path to citizenship, including fines and other things along the way, without having to go back to the home countries first. We can take some phone calls as this immigration bill hits some snags in the Senate. We'll see what actually comes out. Senator Frist, the majority leader, is still planning for a vote by Friday. Our phone number, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Tamara Jacoby this morning. And let's talk about some of these compromise measures that are being floated now to try to save the bill. One of them would involve kind of a two-track thing, where illegal immigrants who've been here more than 5 years might be eligible for a guest worker program. Those less than 5 years would not. What do you think that would do?
Well, it's not a question of would they be eligible. It's under what conditions could they be part of it.
Uh-huh.
And the idea is that the people here less than 5 years would have to go home and come back. And then the question is, they could be guests. The Hagel Compromise would permit them to come back and be guest workers. But then the question is, could they eventually get green cards? And even there, it would permit them to. But the $64,000 question is, would those green cards be counted under the usual green card quota? That's the hard part. Because if they are counted, we just don't have enough. We don't issue enough green cards every year to take care of an extra 6 million people. It's kind of like the elephant in the python.
Right. So would we, under that program, be asking illegal immigrants to go back to their home countries and get in line for a guest worker program behind all the other people who are already applying?
No, they could come right back.
They could come right back.
Yeah. They could come right back as guest workers. The snag would come, and the questions arise around, could they eventually become citizens?
So that leads to a question about enforcement. If people could basically come right away and become guest workers under any of these plans, what would stop just more and more and more and more people from trying to get across the border legally or illegally to then sign up for the guest worker program?
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, obviously, this is going to involve, and the more complicated it gets, the harder it's going to be to administer. But this is going to involve various proving of things. And, you know, people are going to have to prove they were in the country at a certain date. I mean, presumably, you wouldn't be, if you came, you'd have to prove that you were here either at the date of the introduction of the bill, which would have been some time ago, or at the date that the president declares his principles. So there is going to be a game where people try to prove they were in the country at X date and prove they were in the country 5 years ago and prove all kinds of things like that. And, of course, that is going to open the way to, you know, fraud and problems and an administrative, I wouldn't say administrative nightmare, but an administrative challenge. That's the more complex the program gets, you go down that road. The reason we're getting into these arcane splittings of hairs and have you been here 5 years, have you been here 4 years and 362 days, is there's a deeper reason for it, and maybe we ought to reexamine that reason and think what's the real answer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a moral, people don't want to reward the illegality, and they think that they're the different kinds, you know, if you've been here 10 years and put down roots and have a family and have invested in the country here, that gets you a certain kind of equity that perhaps you don't have if you just arrived. So it's something moral driving it, but I think you've got a point that if it gets too complex to administer, it may not be worth trying. And I think that's exactly the kind of thing that the Senate's trying to consider today. Do we get enough in terms of protection from or deniability on the moral issue, and are we getting so complex and so unworkable that it's really not worth it?
Let's take a phone call. Jean in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jean.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about the guest worker system, which I'd like to hear both of you comment on. It seems to me that it has a patina of positivity, but doesn't it really institutionalize a low-wage system through which immigrant workers can be, you know, cycled indefinitely, and it sort of sets up another tier of labor that really drags down the wages of regular laborers.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, the kinds of work, it's a two-part answer. The first part is about the kinds of work most of these immigrants are doing. It does really tend to be work that Americans are too educated and not interested in doing anymore. I don't know anybody raising their kids to be a busboy or a farmhand, or even too many people raising their kids to work in construction anymore. Construction tends to be a job that men do if their fathers worked outside, turns out. Not too many American men do anymore. So, you know, they're not coming and competing for Americans for jobs, by and large, competing with Americans for jobs. They're mostly going into sectors that Americans really are, because we have an increasingly educated workforce, people want to work inside, people want to see a certain kind of future ahead, which they don't see in if they go to work in the fields. These are jobs that Americans don't want to do anymore. So it's a different kind of work. So I don't think I think the lowering wages argument is not as valid as many people think. Where I agree with you is that I don't think we want, even if they're doing jobs that we don't want to do, I don't think we want a second caste of workers who can never become citizens and never rise up, never put down roots, never invest in their communities, never rise up to be full members of our society where they vote and have, you know, feel completely secure here.
Do you think President Bush's version of a guest worker program would have that result, since he would require them to go back to their home countries for at least a year after being guest workers?
It's not clear that the White House is still really committed to that go home for at least a year thing.
Really?
They did talk about that at one point, but they haven't been talking about it for a while.
Well, yesterday there was a White House statement that warned that any final bill should not, quote, create an automatic path to permanent residency or citizenship.
That's true, but that doesn't necessarily mean go home for a year. This is all everything here has to be read within the tea leaves, right?
How do you read that statement?
First of all, I think that's mostly talking about the people who are here now. That's not so much talking about the people in the future. And they're really going to be two distinct groups, right? The people in the future will come with different sets of expectations. But even in the future, and there won't be such moral issues about the people coming in the future. Are we rewarding illegal behavior? But even in the future, you might have them come on what's strictly a guest worker program, but then the question is, if at the end of the program, if they've put down roots, if they've invested in their community, can they switch tracks, so to speak? Can they? I think of it as like the moving sidewalks in the airport. Can you go from one moving sidewalk to the next one? And that's what's important for me, is that if you be able to, if you are the kind of person who really wants to stay, and the kind of person, kind of immigrant that's always made America great, can you switch on to the next moving sidewalk and get on a path that does lead you toward citizenship? And I think as long as you have to switch sidewalks, I think we can argue it's not automatic.
Tamar Jacoby, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, a leading supporter of the Kennedy-McCain guest worker to citizenship approach, as any guest worker plan teeters in the Senate now, according to reports in the last day, with several senators threatening to filibuster any guest worker bill, and Senator McCain saying they don't have 60 votes as of right now to block and stop a filibuster. Bill, listening on Sirius in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Bill. You're on WNYC.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm not sure of the date, but didn't Ronald Reagan give a bunch of illegals amnesty? And this is going to lead to the same problem 10, 15 years down the road. This guest worker program, I don't have anything against anybody that comes here legally. These people broke the law. They came to our country illegally. They are economic refugees. Don't we have laws against economic refugees? I mean, I don't mind them being here. And they're not taking my job. I drive a truck. I don't see them taking jobs from most people, okay, most Americans. But to say that Americans don't want these jobs, I find that so hard to believe. And I'm so afraid that in 10 years we're going to be having this same discussion about all the illegals in this country after we nationalized, or however you put it, this 11 or 12 million illegals. They need to go home, file the paperwork instead of jumping in the front of the line, and come back. If they want to be here that bad, what's wrong with that?
Tamar Jacoby, what about it?
It's a totally fair question, but the point is, what we didn't do in 86, and we still, which is when Ronald Reagan signed that amnesty, that was an amnesty. This one is actually harder. It wouldn't be automatic. He did kind of just wave a wand and say, okay. When he signed that, what he didn't do is create a program so that people could come legally. You know, people talk about the line. There really is no line. If you don't have family already here and you want to work year-round at some kind of unskilled work, there are exactly 5,000 visas like that every year. There are 500,000 jobs like that. So there is no line. People say this all the time to me. They say, why don't they just go down to the post office and pick up their papers? There are no papers to pick up. There is no line. There is no pipeline in. And the reason there was an amnesty once 20 years ago, and now there are again already another 12 million people waiting, is because there's no pipeline for them to get in. But we still need the workers.
But tell me again, and Bill, thanks for your call, what would prevent more people from just coming across the border after this was enacted, coming across illegally, and then signing up for the guest worker program?
Well, look, we do have to have strict controls that come with a program, right? And the most important of them on the border, but the most important is in the workplace. We have to make it so that nobody who's here illegally can get a job.
But we know that that hasn't worked under the 1986
bill. Well, because
bill.
We didn't provide the tools that were necessary.
It costs a lot of money to enforce that at the workplace, right?
Yeah, it would. But I mean, look, what we need is something like a credit card swipe system, which, you know, yes, is expensive if you start from scratch, but it's not exactly rocket science. What we did is we said, okay, businesses, we're going to have something like a card system, but guess what? The cards are going to be paper, not plastic. Like the Social Security cards would be good enough, and we're not going to give you a computer to check them against. I mean, how ridiculous is that? It's as if you went to buy a shirt with your MasterCard and the merchant had to eyeball the card and say, it looks like a MasterCard to me, and you look like the kind of person who pays the bill, and if I'm wrong, I have to eat the price of the shirt.
And on this question, well, actually, I'll let a listener do this. Ricardo in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ricardo.
Yes, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Brian, I'm just calling because I just have a quick comment about these illegals taking the jobs that Americans and legal aliens are in United States. And if we look at jobs that today are restricted to citizens and legal residents, like working for the city, like collecting garbage, cleaning the train tracks, there are jobs that people may not want to do it, but they get paid well. So if, you know, the illegals take jobs because there is a low pay on those jobs, that's why Americans and citizens and legal residents don't take.
Right. Ricardo, thank you very much. But Tamar, you know, we have these new studies that show the shocking extent of black male unemployment and underemployment in New York and around the country. Are illegal immigrants not taking jobs that some of those people, mostly high school dropouts, also low-skill workers, would take?
That is the one place where there's some competition is with high school dropouts. But, you know, I would argue that a lot of the, and you know, this is one of our deepest and most concerning problems in this country, but I would argue that many of those black males who are not in the labor force are not in the labor force for reasons that have nothing to do with immigration. And yes, we have to do something about that problem, but I'm not sure if we want to halt our economic growth while we're trying to grapple with that challenge.
We have 30 seconds left. Give me your best headcount. Are there, you know, how many senators are under?
I think with a good compromise, we really could get across the finish line. We could get something out of the Senate. And today will be the moment of truth.
Why?
Because it's where they're going to decide if they can come together around a compromise that can add Republicans, but meanwhile keep the Democrats.
So if there's no agreement, we have 10 seconds. Will Senator Frist bring anything to a vote on Friday?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer.
All right. Tamar Jacoby, Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will meet Moikansi Kama, founding a new independent cinema in northern Manhattan. Stay with us. We'll be right back.